Rewinds are brought to you by Laughlin and Wolfington, your home sold guaranteed realty. Find out how much your home is worth instantly at LaughlinWolfingtonRealty.com.
These are the top stories that we're following, and we'd like to invite you to follow along with us.
Number five.
Our officers are just handling the regular calls for service. That's why I think we need the overtime in order to really hyper-focus on this situation.
Lewiston Police Chief Carly Conley talking with city leaders in Lewiston last night before the city, overwhelmed with kids shooting kids, approved $200,000 for overtime so police can have more of a presence. We often hear from especially left-leaning cities, just give us more money and we can solve the problem. Let's watch and see if this happens.
Number four.
Todd Blanche needed all 12 Republicans on the Senate Judiciary Committee to advance his nomination to the full Senate floor. Those Republicans came through for him, including Senators John Cornyn and Tom Tillis, who originally protested over the controversial anti-weaponization fund.
Fox News reporting after the Senate Judiciary Committee, you said, advanced the nomination of Acting Attorney General Todd Blanche. Now, Senator Collins yesterday outlining reasons why she says she will vote against confirmation, likely to happen, I think, tomorrow or maybe Friday. And Collins cites past actions that she says has politicized the Justice Department and weakened its independence.
Number three.
Yesterday I was in Maine. We're investigating home support services, just like you're seeing here, for adults in that case who have autism. Medicaid spending of the top 10 providers there has dramatically increased over the last 6 years. In fact, across the board, if you look at fraud and healthcare, all gone up in the last six years. What happened in 2020 that has catalyzed this? What has allowed this corruption to be weaponized? It's COVID. COVID appears to have unleashed massive fraud through grifters because criminals knew the federal government would not follow up on the money that was spending out.
Dr. Mehmet Oz, administrator for federal Medicare and Medicaid in Pennsylvania, they are announcing criminal charges and talking of his trip to Maine on Monday, where Oz says in the state of Maine, 90% of Maine Medicaid payments are sus. And while he was in the state of Maine.
Number two.
Believe me, I am so concerned what's happening in our state with fraud. What's the federal government doing about it?
When you step down as governor and we start tracking since then what has gone on to home-based therapy for adults who have autism or intellectual disabilities, the number? Six-fold increase.
Absolutely.
Six times more money being spent on what used to be a very manageable program.
Meeting with former Governor Paula Page, now running for Congress in Maine's 2nd Congressional District. And the two trace the spike in fraud to COVID and its handling within the state by the Mills administration. And you know who else Oz met with? Hardest working man in digital media in the state of Maine, John Featherson of the Maine Wire, friend of the program, giving Dr. Oz a tour of healthcare providers. I reached out to John last night. John is on during the Newsmakers Hour today.
Fantastic.
But let's go to Knox County.
Number one.
A former Rockland school bus driver is under arrest, officially charged in the death of a 12-year-old boy. Jeffrey Colburn is charged with manslaughter in the death of Braden Callahan back in November. The crash report claims the boy had just exited the bus and was beginning to cross at a crosswalk when the bus, driven by Colburn, pulled forward and hit him.
That's WMTW rewinding the tape to January of this year when a Knox County grand jury indicted former school bus driver Jeffrey Colburn. I have his name right, Jeffrey Colburn. Mm-hmm. He's now 65. Put a pin in that. We'll come back to it. And the grand jury indicted him for felony manslaughter because police say that Colburn, responsible as the operator of the school bus, ran over 12-year-old Braden Callahan, who'd gotten off the bus and was in a crosswalk. Colburn pleaded guilty. And now prosecutors, I had to blink two, three times when I saw the headline and then read it. And now prosecutors are offering Colburn a deal. Plead to a civil traffic violation, lose your license for 4 years, pay a $5,000 fine, and the state will drop the manslaughter charge. Anyone else waking up with J as the final of the four letters of your Myers-Briggs having a problem with this morning, or is it just me? Because police confirm that he killed a 12-year-old boy. The grand jury indicted him for felony murder. And now the state cuts the deal to drop the charge, and Jeffrey Coburn will not spend time in prison. You're going to hear a lot of people talk about jail. As I understand it, if you're sentenced to less than 365, you go to jail. If it's more than 365, they send you off to prison. Enjoy the food. I got to believe that a lot of people in Maine are not okay with this. Coburn is set to admit to the civil violation, not a criminal conviction. The maximum penalty, again, the $5,000 fine, some community service, too, is in there. And you lose your driver's license. It's suspended for up to 4 years. And this is where I think a lot of people are going to say, no, I think they're going to shout, stop. Braden Callahan is dead. The grand jury found enough evidence to indict Jeffrey Coburn. The police report says the kid was in the marked crosswalk and Coburn was not watching the road. And this ends as a civil traffic violation? Okay, there are a couple of legal truths here that you may not know because you got up and left the room during Law and Order. A couple of truths. An indictment is not a conviction. A grand jury does not decide whether someone is guilty. Now, an impaneled jury for a superior court trial, yeah, they would. But a grand jury, no. They just decide whether there's enough evidence for a criminal charge to move forward. And a Knox County grand jury did that in January of this year. And at the time, the district attorney for Knox County, Natasha Irving, who personally handled Colburn's arraignment, publicly said she believed the state could prove his criminal negligence beyond a reasonable doubt. That's what it would take. Because manslaughter requires more than proving that somebody made a terrible mistake. Maine law says, prove it beyond a reasonable doubt that Coburn acted recklessly or with criminal negligence in causing the death. That means more than carelessness. Listen carefully if you would. If you're upset about this, listen carefully if you would. It requires a gross departure from what a reasonable and prudent person would have done in the same situation. Now, you can argue for a moment that if you are tasked, hired, employed as a bus driver, you best bring your capital A game every single day. Otherwise, manslaughter is a class capital A crime with a maximum possible sentence of 30 years. Now we got to come to a couple of maybes here. Maybe Natasha Irving, the Knox County District Attorney who's responsible for this deal ultimately, maybe she studied the evidence and maybe something happened in January of this year. She said, yeah, I think we can do it. And now she says, no, I don't think we can. Maybe she studied the evidence and she's concluded that they could prove a traffic violation caused Braden's death. I have a problem with that. A traffic violation doesn't cause someone's death. In this case, someone operating an internal combustion motor vehicle of some size who had been charged with the safety of this 12-year-old in that person's care has caused this. But maybe she's thinking a traffic violation caused Braden's death, but could not convince. Maybe her gut's telling her that she could not convince 12 jurors unanimously and beyond a reasonable doubt that the driver's conduct, that Colburn's conduct, reached criminal level and that would be required for manslaughter. Here's another maybe. Maybe the video that we heard about, read about, talked about, maybe it's a little less conclusive than what the police report summarized. And maybe they had an expert. Maybe the defense had an expert that was ready to raise some questions. And maybe there's evidence that we haven't even heard about. That's where I have a problem here right now. Those are the possibilities. What we haven't heard from Natasha Irving's office are the definites. When the state takes a case from a manslaughter indictment carrying the possibility of decades in prison down to a civil violation with no jail time at all, that's where I think the prosecutors, I think that's where they may have committed the crime. Don't you think the people of Maine that want to hear the reason deserve to hear the reason? How about the people in Knox County? How about the people in Rockland? How about the family of Braden Callahan? Public anger should not replace evidence, even though, boy, we sure see a lot of that today now, don't we? An indictment does not prove guilt. That's true. And certainly not because every fatal accident must send somebody to prison. But instead, shouldn't justice be understandable? Shouldn't plea agreements not automatically amount to be like a bad deal? Sometimes the evidence is weaker than it first appeared. Okay, I get it. Sometimes prosecutors accept the charge that they know they can prove rather than gamble on the charge that they might lose. Sometimes an agreement spares a grieving family of the uncertainty and the pain of a trial. That very well could be the case for the Callahan family. And maybe the fact that the defendant is 65 years old and throwing him to jail for 20, 30 years is going to do no good. However, this is not a parking ticket. This is a 12-year-old kid getting off the school bus and killed by the person operating the vehicle entrusted with that kid's safety. Don't you think Colburn had an extraordinary responsibility? Parents send their kids to school trusting that the adults operating the buses are going to watch every mirror, every crossing arm, every kid, every inch of the road. That didn't happen here. But this is a civil charge now? So if the state believes the case does not support manslaughter conviction, can we at least ask Natasha Irving why? Can you take a moment, explain it to us like we're the seventh grader? What evidence changed your calculation? Why do you think criminal negligence could not be proved? Is it because you wanted to spare the family? Is it because you thought that the guy shouldn't now at the age of 65 spend that much time in prison? And explain to us why you think a civil violation is just and appropriate. It's not WWJD, what would Jesus do? It's WJJD, what would Judge Judy do, I think. She'd explain it. Could we get that, please? Now, this has to go, if I understand this correctly, this has to go before another judge. And maybe that judge is going to say, no, I don't like the looks of this. I'm going to send this back. Or maybe that judge is going to say, you know, all right. And maybe that judge has information that Natasha Irving is ready to share with the legal system and not the public at this time. But boy, I'd like to hear it. Am I the only one? Maybe this is the most responsible outcome that Natasha Irving and the Knox County DA's office thought they could reach. But when a child is dead without a criminal conviction, at the hands of, police say, the person responsible for that kid's safety, and no possibility of prison time, trust us, ain't enough. A case involving the death of a 12-year-old child in our state, justice should be done. And I think justice should be explained. I wonder if you think the same thing. Love to read your text, 601-207-4478, 601-207-4478. A civil violation, no jail time. Do we think that's adequate for a school bus driver committing a traffic violation and causing the death of a child?
Rewinds are brought to you by Laughlin and Wolfington, your home sold guaranteed realty. Find out how much your home is worth instantly at laughlinwolfingtonrealty.com.